John's already referred to the reading, and now it comes out of God's word. Luke chapter 9, verses 18 to 27, for those of you who want to follow. Once, when Jesus was praying in private, and his disciples were with him, he asked them, "Who do the crowd say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "God's Messiah." Jesus then strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone. And he said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. And he must be killed, and on the third day be raised to life." Then he said to them all, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Truly, I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God." May God bless his word to our hearts.
So today we see how Jesus helps Peter to vocalize what is in his heart. This word, Jesus Christ, when we see that word in the scriptures, Christ was the Greek word meaning Messiah. And in the version we just had, that was rendered God's Messiah, the prophesied one. So would you be able to do that? If you were stood in a group of Christian friends around you, I stand before God and say what Peter said. I believe you are God's Messiah. You are the Christ. That's effectively what we do when we're baptized. If you want to be baptized, if you want to make that declaration of faith, please do speak to me about that. Because what we believe matters. And affirming what we believe is important too. And if deep down we don't really think that it really matters, that Jesus really matters, eventually that will come through in our actions and what we say. But Jesus here is helping Peter to articulate his belief. Because as he does that, as he actually says something, so it becomes more true for him. When we say something, the words are there, they're real, they've been said, they're out there. We can't grab them and take them back. Words have power, don't they? And as I said before, it's good to practice speaking out what we believe. I don't know if we can have the PowerPoint. There's a verse, or I'll read it to you. In 1 Peter 3, verse 15, "In your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this," it says, "with gentleness and respect." Flows from our hearts. Do you see that? In your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. That's where it starts. In the quiet time, in your prayer time, when it's just you and God. That's where it starts. And from there, a testimony of integrity will flow to your belief in Jesus Christ. But it's helpful to prepare what that is. It doesn't do any harm to think through what you might say. And there is a link between believing and suffering. There's no denying that. This passage in Peter is set in the context of a section of scripture called suffering for doing good. That's what the start is of that chunk. And even suffering for giving your testimony is not to be a surprise for us. As we read scripture, we know. And Luke is under no illusion. Jesus puts these things together. Matthew does the same in his gospel. And Jesus goes on to say that he will suffer. Luke 9, verse 22, he will suffer and be killed, but on the third day, he will be raised to life. And Jesus says, whoever wants to be his disciple, then he says, must do three things. Did you catch what those were? Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. Deny yourself, take up your cross daily, follow Jesus. Wow, sounds a bit intense, doesn't it? Don't you think? But as we've said before, if we don't believe Jesus is crazy, if we don't believe that he was leading people into some sort of falsehood, or as C.S. Lewis put it, if we don't believe that Jesus was mad or bad, we are left with the conclusion that he is Lord. So perhaps we should investigate this teaching of Jesus here. Don't deny yourself. Jesus is saying here that the road to fulfillment and freedom is not to satisfy every desire that you have. It's a road of self-control and a road to some degree of abstinence that we are called to. And underneath, we know this to be true. Freedom, fulfillment, and peace is not found in the accumulation of wealth, objects, or power. Jesus says, deny yourself. Then Jesus says, take up your cross. Freedom is not found in taking things or taking the things from others. Freedom and fulfillment are found in taking up your cross. Jesus says, pick up your cross daily, every day. Put others first. Live a life of sacrifice. But Jesus doesn't only say these things, he demonstrates them. He said, the greatest love a man can show is to lay down his life for his friends. And then that is what he did. That is real sacrificial love. And then Jesus says, follow him. And I know that freedom and fulfillment is not found in doing it my way. It's found in doing it God's way. Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus, we're called to. That is where we will find freedom and fulfillment. We're called to follow Jesus. So what does this mean in practice? And then in these next few verses, that's really where the rubber hits the road. Jesus says, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? Wow. Those words have echoed throughout the ages. They pierce the heart, don't they? It's just one of those passages of scripture. From the King James Version in the 1600s. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? Or in the RSV, the Revised Standard Version. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? I think I've shared before that when I was at sixth form college, I really was trying to live with one foot in the church and one foot in the world. It was a disaster. I could neither completely reject Jesus, I knew him too well, but I couldn't bring myself to commit. I lacked courage, confidence, and character. I was afraid of my past failings, I hadn't really understood and grasped the depth of God's forgiveness. I was afraid of losing friends and popularity and status. But then when I went to university, I managed to pin my colours to the mast to say from day one that I was a Christian. Life was not easy, but at least I had that peace in my soul. Our identity and character depend on us being true to who we are and what we believe. We may gain things by pretending that we're not Christians, by staying quiet. Perhaps advantage in the workplace, in the promotion race, perhaps popularity at school, college, university, or work. But what effect will it have on us? Our integrity is ruined and we forfeit our very selves. And I know I've done that. Not only in sixth form, since then, I've done that. I've let ambition or desire for success or popularity push Jesus out. And then I've felt terrible. I've felt ashamed, like I've let Jesus down, like I've let myself down. I felt like I had forfeited my very self. But I've found forgiveness and reconciliation through Jesus, through coming back to God, a new start with him. It's not too late. It's never too late. There is forgiveness in God, and you can find that today. You can find peace in God today. You can try again. And Jesus goes on in this passage to say that we will stand one day before the Lamb of God, before God, before our Creator and our Redeemer. And then for those who have accepted the forgiveness of Jesus and are willing to testify that he is Lord, there is forgiveness. God will not judge them for their sins. But for those who have rejected God, God will give them, sadly, their choice. And for us, we will have to give an account of ourselves. And we will be ashamed if we have been ashamed of Jesus Christ. And it's not easy, is it? It's not easy. Being called to live as Christians in a non-Christian secular world. I worked in the secular marketplace, secular world for 16 years. I was in the IT industry during the internet boom, during the dot-com boom. It was great fun in many ways, actually. And I remember the testimony of a guy who was speaking at our church in Burton-on-Trent a few years ago, quite a lot of years ago. He was in IT, and he said that he simply had two things in his mind as he was thinking back to how he was before he knew Jesus. How far, how fast? Maybe you've met these guys, I don't know. How far could he get up the ladder of power and responsibility? Whatever the cost, he didn't care. How fast could he climb that ladder? And how far? How far could he get? How fast could he get up there? Carl was his name. I still remember him now. I remember his face. But he'd revolutionized his life because he had found Jesus. He had changed his priorities. And now he glorified God in his career. He was still trying the best that he could. But he was glorifying God on the way and not forfeiting his very self. He was there advertising an alpha course, telling people that there's another way, that there's a better way. Jesus can transform us in our workplaces too. We can be amazing lights for Jesus. As Owen was saying, you can glorify God tomorrow in doing your work well. God loves it when a plan comes together, to coin a phrase. God loves seeing us succeed at work as teams, as individuals. God designed and created a world from nothing. He loves it when we design and create too. When we create a product that works, or a software program that even works. Or when we build a roof, when we help patients or teach someone well, when we serve someone efficiently, when we advise people well regarding their taxes or in their business, or when we write a good business proposal, we can give glory to God in creating, maintaining, and improving his world done for the glory of God, as signs of the kingdom, of the growth of the glory of God. And there's balance too, though, isn't there? Just while we're celebrating this, we mustn't neglect our families. We need to prioritize our families. That's part of this not losing ourselves. Rob Parsons, in his book, The 60-Minute Father, a good read, says, "No one was ever heard to say on their deathbed, 'I wish I had spent more time at the office.'" He talks about seizing the day with our families as well. Capre diem. Seize that day. Balance up our time with our family responsibilities. You know, ministers are not immune from that. In fact, sometimes some of the worst offenders. John Mark Comer, who was leading a mega, multi-campus mega church in the States, and then decided that he wasn't happy with who he was becoming, writes this. He says that attention is a precious resource, our attention. "What you give your attention to," he says, "is the person you become. In the end, your life is no more than the sum of what you gave your attention to." And as we come in just to focus on what this might mean for us, I just want to bring you two songs, one from the modern day and one from a few years ago, the song actually that I sang when I was baptized. Oh, I chose. But the first one's by a chap called Toby Mack. He's extremely funky and has a very funky hat. And he was in a successful band called DC Talk, who none of you will know because either you're too old and didn't notice or you're too young and weren't born. Anyway. But he then went solo and had a reasonably good, and is still having, a sort of a more overtly Christian solo career in the States and over here. He's had his ups and downs in his life, as most people do, but he's carried on making music and encouraging people in their faith. He's been quite successful and tried to balance that success, and he shared his struggles through his music as well. But Toby's dad was in real estate. He was in property and was quite successful. And he had a business card, and on the back of that business card was written, "What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul?" And he passed on those values to his son. His son met Jesus for himself, and Toby's turned that verse into a song, and we're going to have that video now, and I've taken Toby off. You remember what Toby looks like. You can catch it on YouTube if you want to watch the full video. But I thought I'd put up the words, because with it being a hip song, hop song, kind of like go quite quickly. So anyway, I'll leave you to enjoy Toby Mack bringing us Lose My Soul.
Man, I want to tell y'all something, man. Man, I'm not gonna let these material things get in my way, y'all. I'm trying to get somewhere. I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go!
Father God, I am clay in your hands. Help me to stay that way through all life's demands. Cause they chip and they nag and they pull at me. And every little thing I make up my mind to be. Like I'ma be a daddy who's in the mix. And I'ma be a husband who stays legit. And I pray that I'm an artist who rises above the road that is wide and filled with self-love. Everything that I see draws me. Though it's only in you that I can truly see that it's a feast for the eyes, a low blow to purpose. And I'm a little kid at a three-ring circus.
You want to hear the rest of it? Things chip and nag at us. Did you see that? Toby says the chip and the nag. But we get drawn to things. Toby said there, everything that I see draws me. The classic hymn that I sang at my baptism was, "Oh Jesus, I have promised." Well, not that verse. We'll stay on that. But I'll put it up in a minute. It says, "Oh Jesus, I have promised. Oh, let me feel thee near me. The world is ever near. I see the sights that dazzle, the tempting sounds I hear." Things haven't changed much in these last however many years. Toby recognizes that the struggles of temptation, his desire to stay, his determination to stay true to his marriage vows, to prioritize his time with his family over his career and his ambition. He wants to be a daddy who's in the mix and a husband who stays legit. He talks about not being drawn down that road that is wide and filled with self-love. And it's not only in the pop business that we would recognize that you can be drawn down a road that is wide and filled with self-love. We all would have to reject that wide road every day and choose the narrow road. Choose the cross. Seek to bless and serve others. It's not easy. We need God's power, we need his spirit, don't we, to transform us and help us. Toby acknowledges that it's only in Jesus that we can truly see. He describes then a life of faith as a three-ring circus. There's like three circus rings going on at the same time. It took me a while to work out why that is. Sorry, not very funky. But that's a place of great engagement and of spectacular action and fun. Things going on. I'm a little kid, he says, in a three-ring circus. This is life to the full. This is true fulfillment. And now we'll have those words of the that echo that truth of the hymn writer. Oh Jesus, thou hast promised to all who follow thee that where thou art in glory, thou shalt thy servant be. And Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Oh, give me grace to follow my master and my friend. Amen. And we're called to follow. We've been thinking, having this series, and we continue to think as we're working our way through the Gospel of Luke. How does Jesus inspire us to love and trust him? How does he inspire us to follow him? What tools do we find? How can we take a model from the disciples? How can we learn from their mistakes? How can we learn to be those who love, trust, and follow Jesus? Oh, let me see thy footmarks and in them plant mine own. My hope to follow duly is in thy strength alone. Oh, guide me, call me, draw me, uphold me to the end, and then in heaven receive me, my Saviour and my friend. We're called to deny ourselves, to take up our cross daily and follow him, wherever he leads us, whatever that might mean, glorifying him in everything we do, especially to those that we love along the way. Never for selfish gain, but always to the glory of God. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, we believe in you. We believe that you are the Messiah, the chosen one, the one who was prophesied to set us free from our sins. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for me. Jesus, help us, we pray, to honor you in our lives, to put you first. Help us not to lose ourselves in the world, but to be found in you. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, transform us, we pray. We know we can't do this in our own strength, but we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you fill us with the resources of God. Come and help us, we pray, as we seek to serve you and glorify you in our lives. And thank you for that deposit of heaven that you placed in our hearts that reminds us that we are your children, dearly loved, irrespective of what is going on around us and in our lives. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your love. Amen.